Hello, I'm the barrister Stephen Barrett, and last month on the 28th of December, Sunday the 28th, I was assaulted in London. Not, as you might expect, by a common criminal, although there are many of them in central London right now, and I'm going to admit that as I came into central London, that was well on my mind. Now, I was assaulted by security staff employed at Marylebone Railway Station by Chiltern Railways. Each of our railway stations is publicly owned, but by random fluke, if you like, or sheer luck, Chiltern Railways has a special license to run Marylebone Station. It's the only, I think, London station that is run by somebody that isn't part of Network Rail, who are our public owners, although ultimately we are the owners of every other of every railway station, including Marylebone. We are the owners of it, so it is public land. And on this public land, the bosses at Marylebone had decided to erect temporary crowd control. Now, this is late, or about 8:30 on a Sunday evening. I'd just done some filming. I'd just been live on GB News about 20 minutes before, because it takes about 20 minutes to walk from the GB News studios to Marylebone Station, and I'm a great walker. Although it may be longer because I did a little bit of shopping and some other things. But the simple fact is, it's around 8 p.m., 8:30 on a Sunday night, just before New Year's, just after Christmas. Obviously, it's quiet. Obviously, there's barely anybody there. I'd estimate about 20 people were waiting, which, if you actually spread them out over the normal concourse in Marylebone, you're really not noticing anybody. You'd really just look and think the entire place is empty. But Marylebone's bosses, and it is the bosses that I criticize, and I sent some tweets criticizing specifically the management. I didn't criticize the working staff. That's not what you do. I spoke to one gentleman who worked for Marylebone. I said this entire setup is completely ridiculous. He had the decency to sort of at least nod along. He talked through about why he thought it was necessary, although he didn't understand because the bosses hadn't actually explained it to him. And I said, "Look, I know it's not your fault, so I'm not criticizing you." And he's like, "Yes, of course, and of course." And then I went to stand in one of the three nominal queues, and whilst I was there, I did my tweeting, and I took some videos and took some pictures of the ridiculous parameters, which attracted the attention of one of their tooled up security goons. And the security chap walked over to me, and he basically inquired as to what I was doing. And I just said, "Look, this is ridiculous." And I had limited hand movements because in this hand, I've got my Waitrose bag for life with my shopping in it, and I'm holding my coat over it, my tweed coat over it. So I'm using this hand to do some filming with this phone. And as you can see, I got one of these. So that's exactly how I am. Hardly a threatening figure, but I just gestured with my phone. "This is ridiculous," because it is ridiculous. And then he said something vaguely corporatist, sort of vaguely in defense of it, and I just said, "Well, you're a clown." And he then looked me dead in the eye and said, "You're not traveling today. I can do that." And what sort of brutality is that? I mean, assuming that nothing else happened to me that evening, that's absurd. That's outrageous. That is no way to treat a customer or passenger on a railway service, to deny them travel when, of course, we're all dependent on our railways. There's no alternative travel to get home. There's no other way I could get to my market town. It's on the railway. That's it. So by denying me travel, they're effectively saying you're stuck in central London right now unless you shell out loads of money for a taxi. Anyway, I just said, "Well, that's absurd." And I tried to find somebody more senior. So I walked off to try and find somebody more senior. And as I was only, I don't think I really got to talk to the more senior man for more than a few seconds before that chap who had followed me, and I've got limited vision because you see my ridiculous hair. One of the effects of it is that you can't actually see very well side to side. You can basically only see forward. So I wasn't really aware that he was there until he grabbed my arm. and said, "You're leaving the station." And it's like, this is painful. And I just said, "No, that's ridiculous. I've got a valid ticket." And rather than defending me or coming to my aid, the other security guard grabbed my other arm. At which point, I just decided, this is absolutely ridiculous. If you resist, they're going to say that you tried to physically resist, or you hurt them, or you did something. So I just went completely limp. And I made a reference to Gandhi, because that's what Gandhi did. And they then proceeded to drag me out of Marylebone railway station. I made a video immediately after this, and you can watch that, and you can see I'm quite possibly not as calm as I am now. But they dragged me over the Marylebone concourse. Now, the main concourse is that shiny sort of, I don't know what it's called, but it's got a special name, surface that is meant for heavy footfall traffic. And obviously it's quite slippy, so you just slip over that. But sadly, by the time we got to the rougher parts, where they have textured concrete for blind people, already there was a gap between my jumper, I'm wearing a Christmas jumper, by the way, between my Christmas jumper and my trousers, which were cords. And sadly, as I went over the ruffled concrete, that's where the worst damage happened to my, let's euphemistically call it, lower back. And it's still healing today. We're on the 8th of January and it's still not fully healed. On the day it was bleeding, that I found that quite traumatic. There's some mild blood damage to my shirt, although I think that's come out now in the wash. Immediately then they dumped me on the street. So what had they done? If you look at it from a legal perspective, they had moved me from one area of public property to another area of public property. Now, I don't think they thought that's what they were doing. I think they thought they owned Marylebone Station. From the look of them, you'd think that they owned the world, and that, you know, people like me just had to do as we're told and get beaten up at their whim. So immediately I make the video, which you can all go away and watch. I don't think I've uploaded it to YouTube. Perhaps I ought to. And that just shows you my emotional state. Immediately after that video, I then start calling people. Because the last thing I'm going to do is walk away from Marylebone Station. I haven't done anything wrong. I had to pick up my belongings because, of course, they dumped them too. I started calling people and I'm making a series of telephone calls, as you would, to people you know. I mean, for me, that's people who are quite high profile. That's because I'm very lucky enough to know people who are quite high profile. Every single time when the person answered, I simply said, "Sit down, you're not going to believe this, but I have to explain what happened to you." I tried to call my friend Maya Tusi. He was obviously preparing for a video, because that's all he ever does. So he messaged back, having missed the call. And so I have a contemporaneous note where I sent all of this to Maya Tusi to explain what had happened. And then Maya called back immediately. And but for the revolution in Iran, I would have gone on Maya's to explain all of this. It is no way to treat anybody. It is no way to treat a thief or a shoplifter. It's not how they treat thieves and shoplifters. It's not how they treat fare evaders. It's not how they treat anybody. It's certainly no criminal would they dare have laid a hand on. It's because I look like a respectable middle-class, middle-aged man that they felt able to bully me. That's what went on. As I was on the telephone, a man in a high-vis vest came out, and I'm quite traumatized, so I just said, "I don't want to talk to you, you know, go away, please," because I thought he was going to tell me to go, to try and usher me away from the entrance to Marylebone, and I really wasn't going away. That was the last act of defiance I could do, was to stand outside Marylebone, and I rather glibly said, "I'm on the telephone to Lord Young," because I was on the telephone to Toby Young of the Free Speech Union, and I recommend everybody joins the Free Speech Union. And he was promising to support me, and indeed they are. Bless them. About 10 minutes after that, I was still considering making phone calls to people, but I was in a lull, and the same high-vis vest-wearing man came outside, and I was like, and he said, "Are you ready to talk to me now?" And I went, "I'm terrible. Was I curt to you?" And he was like, "No." And I was like, "Well, I, you know, I was a little bit traumatized." And he was like, "Well, I understand." I was like, okay, well, I don't like what's happened to me. And then he spent about 10 minutes sort of putting various scenarios to me, like, you know, you're a terrorist, you were waving knives around, you were effing and blinding. And it's just like, I don't do that. That's not who I am. And he sort of, at one point he said, well, you know, we get a lot of trouble from football fans. And I just said, look, I'm going to stop you. It won't surprise you, but I don't actually have a football team. You know, if you're watching this, you probably know who I am. You know that I'm bisexual, same-sex attracted people, particularly same-sex attracted men. I mean, I don't think I am effeminate now, but I probably was in my youth. And we just didn't go down that path. It's not part of who we are. I've never hit anybody. I would never consider it. It doesn't even register on my radar that you might hit somebody. And I certainly wasn't in a position to do so. I have certain physical conditions that mean, as everybody does as we get older, that means it's just not in my radar. So after about 10 minutes, it was really all it took for this lovely station manager called Mr. Gumbo to realise that I'm a decent person and that, of course, I can travel back home. I showed him a picture of my dogs. If you know me, I have two dogs. I have Bella and Biscuit. They're both currently sleeping in the corner of the library. This is my library. Just over there. And he was very complimentary about my dogs. I showed him my small child. We had a chat about his children. He's got four children. His daughter's 38. He has six grandchildren, the youngest of which is two. We had a lovely chat about that and about his plans for New Year and about what he got up to at Christmas. And, you know, this is how decent people behave. And that was an interaction that is to entirely to his credit and to the credit of Chiltern Railways, although they have discredited themselves since. He then realizes Stephen can perfectly well travel. Now the next train is the 9:12, and we're now at 9:10. So he looked at me and he said, I don't think you'd make the platform. And I just went, yes, I'm not really the running sort. So we gave up on the 9:12, and then we just basically then had a lovely conversation because it's half hourly trains. So we then had a lovely conversation until 10 minutes before the next train, at which we serenely and sedately and rather nicely, he accompanied me through the station so that all the staff could see that obviously there's nothing. If you're escorted by the station manager, people know that obviously you've not done anything wrong. Obviously, you know, a mistake here has been made. Very kindly got me on to my train. That is how my evening went, and I managed to get back. I was traumatized. I'm not going to lie to anybody. I don't care if people call me a snowflake or a wimp. I'm not used to being physically dragged anywhere. I'm not used to anybody laying hands on me. I don't think since I was a child anybody has bullied me with that degree of force. It's in what we call it in law, it's assault. Okay, that's what it was. I was assaulted. In order to defend itself, Chiltern Railways would have to say that there was reasonable grounds for that assault, and they're not going to be able to do that. They're currently, just to update you on what they're doing, they haven't bothered apologising to me. Okay, they have all of my contact details, and they haven't bothered contacting me. They offered me to fill in a web form, which I considered deeply offensive. And thankfully, lots of commentators online agreed that that was deeply offensive and completely ridiculous. It's completely unnecessary, given that I've explained everything in videos and that they know who I am. So they're perfectly able to contact me, but they have chosen not to contact me. Instead, they have put out public statements that they are making an investigation. Right, they have no lawful power to investigate anything. They're not the police. Who on earth do these people think they are? We may think that this is how they got themselves into this mess to begin with. They clearly think they are something that they are not. Absolutely shocking. This investigation will have absolutely no legal authority and no basis. I reject it before it's even concluded. It's complete nonsense. They are marking their own homework. And this is a ridiculous process. They don't need to investigate. They need to apologise. If they had any sense, they would have apologised to me and made a donation to a charity of my choice. That's the obvious way to fix this. I was more than happy with the station manager. But no, they've decided that they will pursue this investigation and not apologise to me, which means they are basically stonewalling me. I now don't feel comfortable using Marylebone Railway Station, because I don't know if they're going to pounce on me again. One of the downsides of being me is that I am pretty easy to spot in a crowd. and that, you know, I don't feel comfortable going through Marylebone. I you know, I don't know how to explain this more clearly. I am not used to being dragged across the floor. That is not something that is a part of my world. I hope if you're watching this, I don't want it to ever be a part of your world. I'm making a fuss because it should never be a part of your world. What we live in is this period in which defensive corporate structures think that they can control narratives, that they can treat all of us like absolute scum, and that they can then investigate themselves and what there'll be a 48-page report of nonsense. I mean, this is just absolute tosh. This is machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. This is corporate socialism. It's treating us all like meat units, not like real people. Well, if you're watching this, you are a real person. If you've got to the end, thank you for sticking with me. I'm pursuing them legally. We're going to prepare and then send a letter to them. And that's the normal process. I'll keep people appraised. At a certain point, this matter will, if they don't grow up, this matter will become what we call sub judice. And I'll stop posting videos. But it's not at this moment. That's not true. And there's no danger that these videos are going to bias a judge, because a judge will just look at the evidence and consider the evidence and listen to testimony. So I have no concern about biasing any future judge. It really shouldn't get to a judge, because this is just pathetic. But remember, if you travel on Chiltern Railways, you're currently paying for a pointless, unlawful, as far as I'm concerned, investigation into why they assaulted me. You're paying the salary of the people who assaulted me, and you're paying the salaries of the management who think this is how you run a railway station and this is how you run a railway in a decent human civilization. Your ticket prices, which are about to go up, are paying for all this rubbish when all they needed to do was say,